Welcome to the Vintage Church Podcast. Vintage Church is a movement of truth, love, and community. For more information, visit VintageChurchNola.com. Here is this week's message.
Good morning, Vintage Church. Is it cold outside? A little bit. I'm excited because I'm getting ready to go on a cruise. So I'm going to leave y'all in the cold weather, and I'm going to go into warm weather, and I'll take pictures and put it on Facebook, make y'all jealous. No, but I'm excited. I have some family in the building as well, and it's only a seven-day cruise, so I'll be back before Mardi Gras. If you didn't know, we are less than a month away from Mardi Gras. Any Mardi Gras fans in the building? Make some noise. So if you've never done a Mardi Gras before, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Woo-wee! Y'all are in for a treat. Let me tell you what. If they mark off the spot, don't stand there. There's a lot of stuff. But Mardi Gras is going to be a lot of fun. So, there's going to be parades. There's going to be drinking of a lot of communion. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. But Mardi Gras is an awesome time. One of my favorite things about Mardi Gras is the marching bands. Anybody like the marching bands? Yes. The marching bands, they are next level. And believe it or not, I used to be in a marching band. Now, I'm going to tell you which instrument I used to play. Don't make fun of me, all right? The flute? You heard of the flute? I'm joking. I didn't play the flute, but I played a clarinet. Yes, clarinets. Take over. You're going to have to get me to do a solo one day. But I played a clarinet, and when I was in the band, I played a clarinet. There was something in the band called cheers. So if you were a talented musician or you were better than everyone else, you sat in the first chair. You know, that you might have had more difficult parts to play, different things of that nature. Then they had the second chair, and then they had the third chair, and so on. And the goal was to get better so that you can step up to the next chair. And as we think about following Jesus, as we think about our walks after Christ, we should always be wanting to follow Jesus so that we can get to that next chair. Because there's another chair in our walks. There's another chair where there's going to be more required of us, more things for God, for us to do for God's glory. But will we step into that next chair? Will we follow Jesus? We're going to look in the Gospel of Matthew. If you don't have your Bible, raise your hand. We're going to read a story about Jesus calling some disciples to follow him. We believe that, raise your hand high there, get one to you. Let's give it for our Connect team. They're doing an awesome job. Thanks for giving it up for our Connect team. They're doing an awesome job. Take this Bible home, read it. It's our gift to you. Believe that there's nothing better that you can do than to take God's word home, read it, and let it transform your lives. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 18. Verse 18. And it says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout of all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee to Decapolis, and from Jerusalem to Judea, and from beyond the Jordan." Let us pray. God, we thank you so much for your word this morning, God. As we look into this text of how you call these men, God, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, God, and I pray that we will be open to what you have to say to us today, God. I pray that for the people in here that need to step up in that chair, they need to make another step in following you, God, that you will make that clear and evident today, God. Let me decrease as you increase. Speak through me, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we look at this, the question this morning is, will you follow Jesus? Will you follow Jesus? And we're going to look at the call of discipleship that we can see in this text. In this text, we see that the call of discipleship includes intentionality. Jesus was intentional. It wasn't just by happenstance. You just don't become a disciple just by hypnosis, just laying there. No, it is intentional. We see that it's relational. We see that Jesus is relational. We're going to look at his relationship that he has with these people. We see that the call of discipleship is equipping. Equipping is a part of discipleship, and then we see multiplying. So we see these things. So the story opens up. They're at the Sea of Galilee. It's about 60 miles north of Jerusalem. It's a beautiful sea. Jesus is walking along. The sea is about 13 miles long, about 8 miles wide. It's about 636 feet below sea level, kind of like New Orleans. It was an awesome place. It was a beautiful place. And Jesus shows up on the scene. And I don't want us to miss this, because when Jesus shows up on the scene, things change. We can look at our own lives. We can look at where we are, what we're doing. But when Jesus shows up in your life, things don't remain the same. Does anybody can testify to that? When Jesus showed up in your life, things were changed. The old things were put behind you. Things were made new. Things change when Jesus shows up on the scene. So we see Jesus show up on the scene. And he sees these two brothers. They were fishermen. And they're fishing, and they're casting a net. So casting a net, the type of net that they had back then, it was about 20 to 25 feet in diameter. It had weights all around it. And they basically would drop it in the sea, and they'll go all the way to the bottom, and then they'll get the fish. So Jesus, he sees these men. It's important to note that he sees Peter and Andrew, but this is not Jesus' first encounter with Peter and Andrew. If you look in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42, you will see that Andrew actually was a disciple of John the Baptist. So he had already met Jesus. They already knew Jesus for about a year when this time happens. A lot of people say, oh, Jesus just walks up to him. There was some prior relationship, the relational aspect. There was some prior relationship that was there. And Jesus, he says to them, follow me. Jesus, he's getting ready to embark and have all these men follow him on the greatest mission known. The greatest mission, and he, out of all the people that he can choose, you would think that he would want to go to the synagogue. You would think that he would want to choose those who are leading. Out of all the people he can choose, he selects these fishermen. So I'm currently on a mission as well. I have Nave. It's not as important as Jesus' mission, but it's a part of Jesus' mission, because everything that we do should include wanting to bring glory to God. And I'm currently in the process of this past week of interviewing people. Let's just say it hasn't been an easy process. I've had some crazy applications, to say the least. I'm looking for a video editor intern, and a guy submitted his application, and it's like, well, what do you have that qualifies you? What video experience do you have? Like, oh, I watch Netflix. Like, are you serious? That has nothing to do with editing a video. Then I've had people, I make all the people that apply for a job with me, I make all of them write a cover letter, not lying. Somebody, their cover letter said, hey, I'm not good at cover letters, but I'll be great for your job. No, sir, you won't. So I'm on the process, and the thing is, I'm looking at these resumes, and I'm trying to find people who I think are qualified to be a part of my mission, and they are qualified to do what I need to get done, so that I can have a strong team. But as we look at Jesus, as we look at how he selects these fishermen, he goes about it not based upon what they have done in the past, not based upon their experience. He goes on it based upon their availability. Because when Jesus calls you and he tells you to take another step in discipleship, when he calls you to that next step, it's not about how qualified you are. It's about being obedient to the one who is calling you. Have you ever felt unqualified? I know I felt unqualified in the past. Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough, that you didn't measure up? You compare yourself to other people. You was like, man, look what they have, man. Look how good of a spouse they are. Look how good of a parent they are. Look how good of a student they are. Look how happy they look on Facebook. Look how happy they look on Instagram. And sometimes when we compare ourselves to other people and what other people are doing, sometimes we can feel unqualified. But the beautiful thing in this text and the beautiful thing that we have to remember is that if Jesus calls you, he will equip you. Jesus equips those who are called. So if he's calling you to do something, if you would just take a step and you would just obey, he will equip you. We look at these men. They most likely came from a middle class, because if you look at Mark chapter 1 and 20, it mentions that James and John, they have servants. So a lot of people are looking at Jesus probably, and they probably were confused. Like, who are these people, Jesus? Do you know that these are just fishermen? How many times do people just look at you? Just look at you and be like, oh, they're not important, they're not valuable. The world would try to place value on, but we have to understand that our value doesn't come from the world. Our value doesn't come from what other people have to say about you. Our value comes from what the Word of God has to say about you. We look at this text, and as we study, we can see that these disciples, they go on and they become and they do all these great things for the kingdom. And it wasn't about so much of what they knew, it was about who they knew. Who do they know? And for us, as God calls us to take a step, it's not so much about how much stuff we have figured out, how much stuff we have memorized, we have all the books of the Bible memorized, or we're perfect, or all these other things, because the truth of the matter is none of us are worthy. But it's about trusting and following after God and trusting that he would equip. So the focus on here and the call is not so much on who is being called as much as it is on who is doing the calling. This text, it highlights the authority of Jesus. And the reason why I think they're able to follow Jesus is because they believed he was who he said he was. And we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe that God is who he says he is? Do we really believe that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do we really believe that he's the great I am? Do we really believe that he can supply all of our needs? Do we really believe that he is sufficient enough for us? Do we believe it? Do we really believe that he can give us peace? Do we really believe that he could equip us to go after the thing that God has called us to do? Because guess what? What we do is based off of what we believe. What you do is based off of what you believe. So I have a, if you pull into the parking lot today, you might have seen my little car. It's a little blue Chevy Aveo. Any Chevy fans in the building? Nobody drives a Chevy. Okay, a couple people. So some people grew up in the projects. I drive a project. This Chevy Aveo is nothing nice. The gas tank won't stay shut. I have to put tape on it to keep it shut. It's quite a project for sure. And I got it to do Uber, which has been another dramatic, traumatic experience. But I have this car. I have this blue car. And when I'm driving it, if I press on the gas pedal to try to speed up, to pass someone up, because we know New Orleans probably has the worst drivers ever. And it's like, how did you get your license? That's why we wanted to know. So as I press on the gas pedal to try to pass someone up, what happens in this Chevy Aveo, they stopped making them, thank God. I have a 2008. I think that was the last year they made them. When you press the gas pedal, the car, it jumps, and then it goes out. Like, it literally dies on you while you're driving it. So this is not a good car to have in New Orleans. Because in New Orleans, you don't have to only drive for yourself. You have to drive for everyone else. And you have to drive for the potholes. It's quite an experience driving in New Orleans. And the thing about this car is, because of my lack of belief in it being able to accelerate, I don't try to pull out in front of anybody. Because I don't believe that it's going to do what it needs to do. Now, if I'm in another car, I might try it. But I share this to say that in life, what we do is based upon what we believe. What do we believe about God? Because if we really, truly believe it, it should impact how we live. So the disciples, they knew Jesus. They knew that he performed miracles. They didn't fully know who Jesus was, but they had some idea of who he was because he had already performed miracles. So as we think about this, and as we think about taking a step, as we think about replicating, as we think about this series that we are in, it's important for us to know that we have to be willing to take a step based on what we believe about Jesus. Now, as a church, we'll have to look at a couple ways you can take steps. But as a church, I would say that just over the past couple years, I've seen some of you take steps. Some of you, you didn't go to church often, and now you go to church regularly. That's a step, and we're thankful for that. Some of us, we've made steps to serve and to volunteer. We're thankful for that. Some of us, we've made steps to go into V groups. We've made steps to go into life groups. We've made steps, and we celebrate that. Can we just give ourselves a round of applause here at Vintage? Because we're talking about taking a step, but the truth of the matter, a lot of people have already taken steps, and we appreciate that. But we're talking about the next chair. So as we think about that, following Jesus requires a step. There's a couple people in this room. Some people in this room might be lost. And when I say lost, I don't mean like you're literally lost. I mean that potentially you're giving church a try. You're giving this Jesus thing a try. And for you, the step that we want you to take, that we would love for you to take this morning, is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. We believe that God created everything. It was perfect. There was shalom. There was peace. And then Adam and Eve sinned, and then evil entered in the world. But God did not leave us that way. He sent his son, Jesus, who lived, who died, and who conquered sin, death, and hell. And anyone who puts their faith in Jesus shall have eternal life. That's what we believe. And people, a lot of people have a lot of, they're skeptical about Christianity. But the thing about Christianity, if you want to disprove Christianity, disprove the resurrection. Because Jesus got up from the grave. There are historical documents that you can find that support within the first century this story about Jesus conquering sin, death, and hell, getting up out of the grave. And because he got up out the grave and he said he would get out the grave, I don't know anybody else who've gotten out the grave. Have you? Do you know anybody? Good. But he conquered sin, death, and hell. He said that he would do this. So what does that let us know? That lets us know that we can believe that he's also truthful and faithful into everything else that he said. So that's what we believe. If you're here today and you want to put your faith in Jesus, that's an amazing step, and we would love to celebrate that with you. There's another group of people here that are already Christians. We're already believers, but potentially it's time for us to grow. It's time for us to grow. We've been in the same place for a long time. We've been going through the same motions for a while. You know, everything is kind of routine. There's no passion there. There's no fire there. There's no excitement there for the gospel of Jesus. It's time to grow. We have a couple of different ways that you can grow here at Vintage. One is we're doing the F260 Bible reading plans. Anybody reading that? Raise your hand. Awesome, awesome. So for those that don't know, we are attempting, keyword attempting, no, we're going to do it, to read the whole Bible in 1 year. We're going to read the whole Bible in 1 year. We have this amazing resource called the F260, and basically it's 5 days of reading per week. So if you can't hit it every day, you can have some makeup days. It's awesome. We would love for you to join us in that. Also, another step for some people in this room and is V groups. Does anybody love their V group in the building? Make some noise. Yes. That's awesome. I have the best V group, I must say. Right, Layton? V groups are groups of 10 to 20 people that meet regularly throughout the city for connection, transformation, and multiplication. We meet weekly or regularly, depending on which the group is, but maybe that's the next step for you. Maybe you've been hanging around us. We're thankful. Thank you for hanging around us. But as your next step could be plugging into a V group. And then we also have something called life groups that we're launching this year. And life groups are 3 to 5 people, gender specific, that meet together for focused discipleship. Focused discipleship. So our goal would be that if you're in this church and you are a Christian, you are a believer, that one, you're in a V group, you're in a life group, and you're reading scripture. I want to pull up, you can pull up the discipleship cone. This is what we believe. As far as discipleship is concerned, yes, it's good that you're here in the gathering. It's good that you're worshiping with us. That's a great first step. But we believe that discipleship goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than just coming here on a Sunday morning. We celebrate that. Thank you for being here. But there's another step. There's another chair for you, and we call it V groups. And maybe you're in a V group. There's another chair. There's another step. We call it life groups. But maybe you're in a life group. There's another step. It's called self. The goal would be that our walks with Jesus is something that we can do with ourselves and with God, where we're not dependent upon other people, but we're in the Word of God, we're reading it, we're praying. So that's our discipleship cone. So as we think about this, the disciples, they're called to this. And as we think about our lives, Jesus is telling these people, hey, follow me. And he gives them a promise. He says, and I will make you fishers of men. He says, put your root in me, and I will make you fishers of men. So many times, we put our roots into other things that don't matter. We put our roots into what other people think about us. So we make our decisions based off of that. We put our roots into our comfort zones. So we make decisions off of that. We put our roots into what we're fearful of. So we make decisions off of that. We put our roots in all of these things. And then all of these things do not produce the fruit that we want in our lives. If you want to change your fruit, change your root. You can't expect to have different fruit if you're connected to the old roots. This morning, for some of us, we need to make it up in our mind that God, it's time for me to root completely in you. I've tried to have some roots over here. I've had some roots over here. But the ultimate fruit of life comes from being rooted in you. So we see these things, and as you look at their response, it says that they immediately follow. Now on the surface, just a little bit of historical context. Jesus at this time had many characteristics of a Jewish rabbi. So discipleship wasn't something that was just created by Jesus. Discipleship kind of existed before them, and Jesus had many characteristics of a Jewish rabbi. He's teaching in the synagogues. He's following the accordance to the Jewish customs. He's doing all these things. But one thing that was different about Jesus' approach is that Jesus went to the disciples to call them. The Jewish rabbis, they would have the disciples come to them and ask, can I follow you? And as we think about this, They give up. They says that immediately they left these things. They give up everything they knew to follow Jesus. They give it up. Now, this doesn't mean like, oh, John's calling me to take a step, so I'm quitting my job tomorrow. I'm packing my bags. We're moving to Africa. We're turning off our phones. No. Unless if God's calling you to do that. But it doesn't mean that automatically has to happen. As a matter of fact, Peter actually, he's married. He doesn't leave his wife. He's married. He doesn't leave his wife. If you go down to Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 to 15, you will see that Peter is married. He has a mother-in-law, and he actually houses Jesus' ministry in the beginning. So as we think about this, as we think about discipleship, as we think about following Jesus, we have to realize that not every disciple is called to leave all their profession, all their possessions. You know, we hear about following Jesus, and as you think about it, if you go to Matthew 27, you will see that Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, and he actually ends up paying for the burial of Jesus. He doesn't give up his position in society. He doesn't give up his wealth, because the truth of the matter is sometimes God is calling us to follow him, but he might be calling us to stay where we're at as we follow him. Because guess what? I can't reach a teacher like a teacher can reach a teacher. I can't reach a coach like a coach can reach a coach. I can't reach somebody in your circle of influence like you can. But as you follow Jesus, you are called and you have that responsibility to take a step and to give it all for him. So it says that if you look at it, it's John and James, they're in the boat. Their father, as they follow Jesus, they are giving up their family business. They're giving up all these things, and they're leaving their father. Speaking of father, I think about my family. I grew up in a household where if you didn't obey mom and dad, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. Sometimes there was time out. Sometimes it was pah. My mom didn't whip us as much as my dad. And he whipped us a little. He didn't whip us a whole lot. But sometimes they'd tell me to do things. And like, take out the trash, John. Do this, John. Do this, John. And I'll do it, but I wouldn't do it right when they said to do it. I'll do it when I felt like doing it. And then I'll still get in trouble. I'm like, but I did it. But they said, you didn't do it when I told you to do it. And it speaks to this truth. Delayed obedience is disobedience. That's why it says immediately, because delayed obedience is disobedience. For some of us, God is calling us to do something today. He's calling us to make it up in our mind today. This week, we're going to get in a V group. This week, we're going to start a life group. This week, we're going to multiply, which was the next level. He gives us these things, and he wants us to do these things for his glory. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So we see this, and the question is, what are you willing to give up to follow Jesus? What are you willing to give up to follow Jesus? Are you willing to leave behind some of those things that aren't good for you? Because to be truthful, everybody and everything can't go with you into the future. There are some people and there are some things that we're going to have to leave behind as we follow after Jesus. But will we leave these things behind? So I'm going to ask for the band to come on. We're going to get ready to close. But I want us to look at verse 23. And it says, and he went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. As we think about the call of discipleship, I want us to look at the results of discipleship. The results of discipleship. The results of the discipleship that we can see here is the advancement of the gospel. They go all around proclaiming the gospel, and it advances it. The declaration of absolute truth. So we live in a world, everybody, where they think truth is relative. Truth is whatever you think it is. No, there is absolute truth. And it is found in the word of God. And then the third thing we see is the development of more disciples. These are the things that we see. This is the result of discipleship. This is why I'm saying that it's time for us to take a step. This is why it's time for us to follow Jesus, whatever level you might be at. We spoke about those people who might not know Jesus that need to make a step to following after him. We spoke about people who are Christians that might need to make a step to growing more. And those people who are already growing, the third level is it's time to multiply. It's time to tell other people to follow you as you follow after Jesus. It's time for us to make a move, church. It's time for us to make a move. It's time to take a step forward. You can't stay where you are. You can't stay there. You can't stay there. I know it might be comfortable. I know it might seem easy to stay and to keep life exactly how it is. But God is saying, I want more of you. God is saying, I have greatness inside of you, and I want it to be released into the world so that I can get glory. It's time for some of us to take a step of faith, to do something that we've never done before as God is tugging on our heart. Do not stay comfortable in this season. Have you watched the news lately? This world is dying. There's wars, there's rumor of wars, there's sickness, there's death all around us, there's brokenness, there's emptiness, people are depressed, people don't know where to turn, and it's up to the church of God to stand up and proclaim the truth. How selfish is it for us to experience all the goodness of God, all of his grace, all of his mercy, all of his peace, all of his love, to experience all these things and keep them to ourselves. It's time to take a step. As we look at this, it says in verse 23 that Jesus was teaching. He was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. And I love the fact that he was healing, because this speaks to this truth, that Jesus has authority over everything in this world. He has authority over it. It doesn't just say he healed this disease. He healed every disease that was brought to him. You know why? Because there's nothing that's impossible for God. There's nothing that has more authority than God.